Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A person's life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions. Now, evil, darkness, it wants to put in our heart these lies that are the opposite of Jesus' truth, right? But when stuff happens in the dark, one of the telltale signs is you typically don't know about it, right? So, until the light shines on it, right? So, you may not have thought in your head, like, my life is about getting more stuff. But when Jesus says, watch out, be on your guard against that, like, that squirrels its way into our heart. That idea that I can't be happy, I can't be content unless I have some sort of possession or more possessions, right? So the first week we were kind of wrestling with that, that like, hey, stuff might have more of a hold on us than we realize. And if we're going to succeed with Jesus, we're going to have to do some contrary action, right? We're going to have to become generous people, right? Be rich towards God is what Jesus said. Don't just hoard stuff for yourself. Last week, we looked at all these different options God gives us on how to be rich towards God. So it's not just put more money in the offering plate at Maywood, and that's why Jake's shaking you, right? It's not like just like a shake there, right? It's like, if you give to the poor, like that's like giving to Jesus' little sister or little brother, right? Like Jesus sees that and cares about it, right? When you're taking care of your own family, that's something Jesus cares about. And even celebrating, right, to build the kingdom of God. When you have some people and you say like, let's have a celebration and grow towards Jesus together, like all these are ways. There's lots of ways to give to God. So if you get hung up on, oh, this church just wants my money, find a different way to give. Like, there's lots of ways to give, but we gotta give or realize we probably got, stuff's got a hold on us, right? If there's resistance in you to giving, you can put whatever logic on top of it, but the truth is probably inside your heart there's that lie that I need this to have a good life, right? So that's where we've been so far. Today, we're going to get into the uncomfortable water of, like, let's talk about how much we should be giving, right? And you're like, oh, man, money topics, and especially specific money topics, most people are smart enough to not get into that with people, right? You're like, man, it's like grabbing a dog by its ears, right? You're just going to get bit, you know? Well, that's what we're going to do today, and we're going to try to look at what does the Bible talk to us about how much should we be giving, because if nothing changes, nothing changes, right? Like, we got to actually talk about it, and some of you are already uncomfortable, right? Because you're like, oh, man, I don't want to talk about that. It's okay if you don't want to do what Jake says, but my hope is for us in the room today, we're in the room because we got some sort of hope that Jesus is real and wants to change our lives. And so if you're in here today and you got that sort of hope, even if you're not sure, if you got hope, would you pray with me like, Jesus, I want to be generous, show me how. Would you pray that with me? Jesus, I want to be generous, show me how. Okay, and that's what we're looking for. We're not looking for Jake's ideas, we're looking for what Jesus wants to do with us, right? So our question we're facing today, we got a slide here. It's just two words, right? It's how much, right? If I'm going to be a generous person, what does that actually mean for me? And it's going to be different for Rusty than for Matt. It's going to be different for Alicia, right? It's going to be different for lots of different people in the room. But we got to each go to Jesus to say how much, right? Now, our self-will is real crafty, right? It can just like dodge the moment and then survive for another day, right? So I got this next slide. Same question, with a little bit perspective. Got this older man looking sad, smoking a cigarette. My guess is, at some point in that guy's life, he was a lot younger and thought, I'll quit someday. And then he's a lot older, and he's not very happy, and he's still smoking, right? Now, I'm beating up on smoking a little bit. That's okay. We could beat up on it, right? Wherever you're at, just be thinking about that. Like, where do I want to be? And if you don't have momentum towards the person that you want to be, I'm not saying you got to fix yourself overnight, but if you're not headed towards who you want to be, then you're heading away. It's harder for that guy to quit than it was when he was 14, right? Because he kept doing the same thing and it got harder and harder, right? Money and money issues are really powerful. And if you're judging the smoker right now, like, you just turn to yourself that same thing of, like, am I really generous the way I want to be generous? Am I free of some sort of addiction to money the way I want to be? And at least is the momentum heading there? Are you more generous right now than you were a week ago or a year ago? Maybe you're not exactly who you want to be, but are you headed there? Are you in the same spot or even more hoarding than you were a year ago or 10 years ago? Because we're all going to get to a spot where there's not another tomorrow for us here on earth. And, like, you don't want to have this, like, oh, I wish I would have been this or that, right? We want to be headed towards the change we want to do, okay? I'm stepping over Mike. Sorry, guys. So today we've got a couple chapters. We're not going to read the whole chapters together, but if you guys would turn to your Bibles, this next slide, 2 Corinthians, man, the Bible talks to us a lot about giving, all through the Bible, really. There's a lot of themes of generosity and giving to God. If I could give you just two chapters in the Bible to say, like, as Christians, what are some good principles? These would be the two chapters. So if you're really serious about, like, man, I want to change with regards to money, these would be great to study on your own and say, like, Jesus, teach me what to do, right? I'm going to hit some highlights today, but the nice thing is if you have it in front of you open, like, you can see the context a little better. So I'm just going to have some key verses on the slides. Before we get there, while you're still flipping your Bibles, I want to talk to us about this picture of these two diving boards and talk about how we might be feeling about this money stuff and a little bit about what the Bible says. We're going to do a quick overview. So here we got these two diving boards. One is short, one is tall, right? And they're both diving boards, though, right? If I was going to say that shorter diving board, if I was talking about giving, I would say that's more like the Old Testament view of giving. Old Testament, like we read last week in Deuteronomy 14, I think it was. It's talking about giving a tithe, right? It's a fancy word for 10%. And we talked about, the Bible says there's a lot of ways to give that money to God, right? But that was the standard that got set back in Genesis. A guy had a victory who was following God, and he joyfully gave 10%. And then it got set as this law of, like, hey, all the people of God are going to give 10%. So sometimes when people are following Jesus, they're like, how much should a Christian give to God? The easiest answer that has a number, that has some verses with it, is give 10%. Now, some of you are here today, and you're like, 10% is, like, insane amount, right? And you're like, maybe if you look back over this last year, like, I wasn't thinking in percentages, right? Like, I was thinking in, like, should I give $5 or should I give $10 today, right? Or something, like, not like a percent of my income. So for some of us, it's like a kid who's never been on a diving board before. The short one seems like too much for today, right? The whole time, we're going to get here in a minute, the whole idea about giving to God is it's supposed to be something that you want to do. And whatever you want to do is a good level to get started at, right? So if you hear 10% and you're like, that's insane, I don't even know how that would work, I would have to stop, you know, paying my rent or feeding my kids, or I'd have to stop paying for stuff the state has required me by law to pay for, or whatever it is, right? Okay, like, think this through with God about what's the step for you, right? But some of us have been given 10% and we just stopped thinking about it. And we don't even know that the Bible talks about a lot of other stuff, right? When you see these two boards, nobody on that first board thinks, like, man, I'm such a tough person, right? Because you got that giant board right next to you, right? You're like, oh no. The New Testament gives us a lot of what I'm going to say is, like, adventure or possibilities with giving. It doesn't set just like a 10% and never think about it. It gives us all this room to be generous. And it gives us some promises, too. We'll look at a little bit of the promises. So I can remember being a little kid. I can remember being a little kid who didn't ever go on a diving board, and then you get a little more brave, and you go up the little one, right? And I remember being a kid and getting up to, like, the big diving board and being scared as you go up the steps, right? It gets taller and taller. It looks worse on top than it does on the bottom, right? But as we're going today, I'm going to take you through some principles about giving that are in the New Testament I think for some of us, it's going to feel like we're climbing the diving board. Like, I thought this was going to be bad when Jake started, but it just looks worse and worse and worse. If we can approach things like a courageous kid, we can learn a lot more from God. Courageous kids look at those two diving boards and think, like, what could I do when I get off the top of that big one, right? There's a lot more room for creativity, or there's a lot more room for oohs and ahs on your belly flop or whatever you do, right? I want you just in this moment, I'm not going to make you sign anything. You're not committing anything. We already passed the offering plates, right? This isn't about manipulation for this moment or something, right? Just while you're in the room, approach God with this idea of, like, I want to be an adventurous kid right now as I think about what's possible. What if I did the stuff that it's talking about, right? So we got our prep. Now we're going to get into these passages. We've got a few things to point out here from, we're going to start in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. So starting in verse 8, Paul here, I should have given some context. Paul is trying to raise money from some different churches to go feed Christians in Jerusalem that are in a famine, right? So there's some Christians somewhere in the world that don't have enough food, and he's going around to other churches saying, let's put some money together and go help these folks that don't have enough food, right? So that's the context. And he's already been to some other churches, and now he's getting ready to go to Corinth, to this church again. He says, I'm not saying you have to give to relieve these other Christians that don't have enough food, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. What he said in context is this other church gave a whole lot, even though they don't have a lot of money. They gave a whole lot to help these folks that are starving. And I'm not saying you have to give, but we're going to see whether you love these people or not based off of how you give, which is pretty intense, right? You're like, whoa. When we see somebody in need, James says, and we say, like, hey, go be well-fed, but we don't do anything to help feed them, like, that's fake. Okay, this is Jake language, but that's basically what James is saying. And here Paul's saying, if you want to know how sincere your love is, like, how much do you give to those people? Some of us, that's a pretty intense thing to look at. Like, how sincere is my love? If I just looked at my bank account, or I looked at my wallet, or looked at my whatever random thing you're using on your phone to do money transactions with, like, if I looked at that, like, where is the sincerity at? Do I actually love the stuff that I talk about loving? So the first thing out of the gate we see with money is, like, where our money goes shows us kind of a trail of, like, how sincere our love is for something, right? If we love a person and they're in need, we're going to try to help that person if we can, right? Now, it didn't take me very far. We got one verse in, and some of you are pretty offended, maybe. You know, like, how dare you? I will tell you, like, I don't know how much, I try not to know how much anybody gives to Maywood. This is not about how much do you give at Maywood. It's no judgment for me. But I'm trying to teach you guys, here's what the Bible talks about. And sometimes we get offended pretty fast. Like, we stick our toe in to learning, and then we get offended, and we're done learning. So if you're here, and you're like, I'm offended, I'm stopped listening, there's a great antidote to being offended. And whether you're offended about money or just in general, sometimes you get offended and it makes you not learn as much. I struggle with that. This next verse is a great principle Paul's going to show us. When you get offended, how do you keep learning? Verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though Jesus was rich, right? He's like leading in heaven, yet for your sake, Jesus became poor. He lived as a homeless man, right? As a peasant in an occupied country, so that you, through Jesus' poverty, might become rich. What's the principle there? The principle is when we feel offended, a good filter is to pay attention to Jesus and then see if our offense can survive, right? Like, it's like sunlight to mold, right? It's like mold sitting in sunlight doesn't live very long, right? Like, if you pay attention to Jesus' life and what he's done for you, a lot of times, even if someone has mistreated you or done something wrong, the bitterness can't live when you put it next to what Jesus did for you. You start feeling grateful. You start feeling like, I should probably forgive that person. Forgiveness means somebody did something wrong, I'm not saying you shouldn't stand up to people who have done something wrong, but the bitterness or the entitlement or the offense a lot of times dies off when we pay attention to what Jesus did for us. And so even as we're thinking about money stuff, if you start getting like, who does Paul think he is to say, test the sincerity of my love, right? When we think about Jesus, it's like, oh, like I'm less offended. I'm more ready to learn, okay? So our first idea, first rung as a Christian giver is to realize if I say I care about stuff, I should give to those people, right? The people I say I care about, there should be some generosity towards them if they have a need. Okay, next little rung up the ladder. We're going to take another step. So this time we're going, our next verse is in verse 13. Paul says, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. What's the principle here? Again, if you want to read the whole chapter, you can get more context. But what he's saying is there's folks in Jerusalem that are maybe going to starve to death, like if somebody doesn't help them. So you guys got more than enough food to feed yourselves, so share so nobody starves. It's a pretty simple idea. It sounds great on paper. But the principle that Christians would share with each other so that nobody has too much need or so that there could be equality gets real extreme real fast. Christy and I have got two vehicles for our families, right? For our family, my wife and I. There's a bunch of folks even in the room, right, that don't have access to a vehicle, right? And we could go around the room and realize there's tons of inequality even in this room. And then, like, I've got some friends that live in Mexico. Christy's had friends that live in Nairobi and Kenya. Like, you start making friends with Christians in other countries, this equality stuff starts to get real intimidating. Of like, wait, Jesus, like, what? Like, I don't even understand. Like, your pastor, I don't even understand how this could even work. Sometimes we can get scared, like the diving board, right? You just get scared and intimidated, so you're not going to go up it. Instead of getting scared, what if it is this humility? Like, huh, I don't have any clue how to get to equality with all the Christians I know. Maybe I should have a humble attitude about myself, of I'm a beginner when it comes to giving, right? Instead of feeling confident that I got it all figured out, what if I had the humility to say, like, I'm a beginner. I'm trying to figure this out. Jesus, hold me by the hand and show me the next right step, right? If I got two of something and I'm run across somebody who doesn't have it, help me. Help me to do the next right step. Maybe it's just giving away a rain jacket or something, right? I'm not saying you got to share half your house this week. But do you start to see, like, the diving board goes really high when we're following Jesus? Some of us think we're really mature, but if you read the Bible closely, you realize, like, whew, I'm just getting started. That's a good attitude to have. It's good to realize, like, I'm just getting started. I need Jesus' help. That's a good place to be at. And then you start looking around for Jesus. I don't have this whole equality thing figured out, but what do I have two of that I could share with somebody else that doesn't have any? That's a good question, right? That principle, if we're not scared of it, can guide us into good actions, right? You still need to have a conversation with Jesus, but it puts you on the right path. Instead of feeling confident that you're doing enough, you got open eyes to how could I share, right? What do I have two of that I could share with somebody else, okay? Here's our next. We got one more principle to kind of talk about. Chapter 9 now. We've gone to the next chapter. It says, so I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Sometimes we're going to read the verse about being a cheerful giver. People like that verse, right? A lot of us kind of use that verse to get ourselves off the hook. But here, Paul's saying, like, let's go ahead and make a plan and be strategic so that way it can be generous. So if you just wait till the last minute and like, oh, yeah, I need to help that person who's struggling or I need to help this cause, the amount of money you give on a whim that's generous and you can be happy about with a smile on your face is going to be kind of small compared to if you sit down with your family or with whoever you're running your finances with. It might just be you, it might be your spouse, and you say, what would it be great to give? What would we want to give? Okay, we want to give this amount. Okay, here's our bills, here's our income. Maybe even here's what we could sell. what do we actually want to do? Like, maybe we bit off, maybe we can't actually get there, but if we make a plan and we set aside this much every week or every paycheck, we could get halfway there. That would still be pretty cool. I bet halfway there will still be way more than if you just wait till the last minute and try to be generous. Some of us don't like planning or budgeting or whatever, but the principle is, if you really want to up your generosity game as a Christian, like, it's going to involve some strategy. A mature Christian's going to strategize about how do I joyfully give, because they want to give more. So I hit us with some principles. Why do they want to give more, though? Right? So I'm going to go around. Man, we are really short on time, but I want to hear from one person this little mic question, if we can jump to that. I think it's two slides forward. Maybe. Yeah. I want to hear from somebody who's got a good testimony about, like, somebody was generous with me in a way that blew my mind, whether it was giving you a bicycle, whether it was giving you something way bigger than that, and it changed your life, right? Yeah, Bree, we're going to come to you.
I was recently given the gift of a weekend with Jesus at Tres Dias by Mike.
Yeah.
And it definitely changed my life.
Okay. That's awesome, Bree. Thank you for sharing. So I ran us out of time. I hate that we're not going around to hear more of these things, but to give you guys some homework, you could ask some other Christians that. Like, has anybody ever been so generous with you that it changed you? And what Bree just shared, somebody gave me this money to go over to Tres Dias, and it changed my life. Mike gave her that. So, like, in this room, people have been given vehicles. People have been given stuff that, like, really, they realize, like, God loves me. And it was through what somebody else did. That's what we're going to read about. We're going to read it kind of quickly. Here's our last three verses. Chapter 9, verse 13. Because of this service, talking about giving, by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. What that means is you're going to give somebody something that is like some sort of money or a physical thing, and it's going to have an impact on their spirit where they know, like, thank you, God, for taking care of me. If you've ever had that chance to give money to somebody that's struggling and then see them be like, God loves me and wants to take care of me. I see some head nods from some of you. I don't want to put you guys out there on blast. But some of you, I know some people have been generous with you, and it's like changed you. For the person that gives, if they get to hear, like, man, I gave that person $50, and now they know God loves them, you've never spent $50 on something that valuable. You're like, oh my goodness, I want to do that again, right? Like, how do I do it again? That's the gift of generosity. We start to get addicted to something good, right? Dan has taught me that kind of phrase, right, about, like, get addicted to something good. You get addicted to being generous in a way that, like, money's not very valuable compared to people having a better relationship with God and knowing that God's faithful. And you could be a part of that, right? We're going to read a couple more verses here. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Verse 15. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. We talked about the diving board, but here's another picture for us. Here are kids that are diving that are, like, having fun with it, right? So we started with, like, how much? And it was kind of like a negative, guilty question. Here's a question I want to leave you guys with. This next slide. Sorry, one more slide. Is how often? Like, how often do you want to have that impact on somebody where they say, thanks be to God for loving me through you? Because you don't have to do it all the time. God's not angry at you. It's like you're holding yourself back from something good, right? I showed the cigarette picture, but here's like a positive picture. When you see somebody like excited about God because you gave them a rain jacket or something, you're just like, wow, I want to do that again, right? That's when we get to go to God and say, like, God, I want to be generous. Help me be generous. God will help you. And don't start somewhere you're not comfortable starting at, but also realize, like, it gets higher, right? Like, none of us are masters at this, right? So start humbly and say, God, I want to grow. I want to be headed towards becoming a generous person. Like, God, you, my Heavenly Father, are generous, okay? Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your generosity to us. Help us be generous to others. It's in your name we pray. Amen.